Current State on WKAR. Welcome back. It's Wednesday. It's time for our Neighbors in Action segment, when we feature people and organizations working to make our community a better place. Today we feature the Listening Ear. I'm sure you're familiar with it, a Lansing-based all-volunteer organization that boasts the longest-running crisis hotline in the nation. Here to tell us more, Steve Bond. For going on 35 years, he's been the Listening Ear's longest-serving volunteer. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mark.
And joining him is another volunteer, Tanya Bareness. Welcome to Current State, Tanya. Tanya.
Good morning.
So the longest, I've heard this periodically over the years, the longest running crisis hotline in the country. That is really an amazing little fact to have in your corner. Tell us about the more distant history of the Listening Ear, Steve. How did it get started?
Well, it was started in 1969. A graduate student at MSU, June Jacobson, was talking with her graduate advisor, Dozier Thornton, about the unrest that was going on in the East Lansing MSU campus. And they had heard about the start of crisis intervention centers in California. And we were really the first crisis center outside of California. The city of East Lansing and MSU got into a partnership, and they formed a committee to see if there was a need, found a small space on Grand River to open up. We were actually on the second floor of Grand River for a long time. They said if we got 1,000 calls in the first 3 months that there would be a need, that would show a need for the community. They got 1,000 in the first month of service in 1969. Mm.
As someone who grew up very nearby and then attended MSU, the photograph on your website of your original location you just referred to, 547 and a half East Grand River, really brought back a flood of memories. I also remember reading your announcements for several years on the campus radio station here at Michigan State at Brody Hall. Tanya, tell us about the services that you offer.
Some of the services that we offer are counseling services, walk-ins. We accept those. We have a section of sexual assault counseling as well. And we also do a lot of referrals. If people need community referrals elsewhere, we do offer those services as well.
Mm-hmm. Community education is part of what you offer as well, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how does that unfold?
Well, so we have one of our volunteers also fields calls that if someone wants a speaker to come and talk about crisis intervention. We are trained in suicide prevention, and so we'll go out and do talks to high school groups or local civic groups. One of the biggest things we do is we are in collaboration with the MSU's sexual assault program. We do a Take Back the Night in April, which is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and that's part of our community education group.
How many calls do you get?
We still get about 1,000 calls a month, so that averages out to about 35 a day. We're open 24/7, so we're available when other social service agencies are closed. CMH oftentimes will refer people who call their line. If they don't need medications or hospitalizations, they'll refer them to us if they just need a listening ear to talk to.
And most of these calls come from the Tri-County area or where?
You know, initially, most of them were from the Tri-County area. We find with the advent of cell phones and cell phone plans that we get calls from all over the country now. People find us on the website, and we get calls from California and Virginia. But mostly still, we're very much a Tri-County area agency, and most of our calls still come from the Tri-County.
Tanya, do you have a story that kind of captures why you do what you do at the Listening Ear? Maybe a particularly memorable call?
Just in general, I guess I would say talking to people who have been depressed and feeling that I can be there for them. Because I've been depressed myself, and I've been in that place. And I being sympathetic towards them and empathizing with them in their feelings and normalizing it for them. And just overall being there for them and being that ear, that someone that they can talk to in that moment of crisis that they need.
It sounds like it's potentially stressful work, though, for non-professionals. How does that play out?
Well, so we definitely rely on each other for emotional support. We find that the 65-hour training program we put people through really does prepare them for work on the phones, but to sustain that work, we really rely on each other. And because we're an all-volunteer group, nobody's there because they have to be there. Everybody wants to be helpful. And I find the staff really helpful to each other. It's a really...
So you lend a listening ear to each other,
absolutely,
as well as to the outer world there. Where does your funding come from?
East Lansing provides us the bulk of our funding, and then we also get some money from the Ingham County Commissioners. And then we do various fundraisers. We do a couple of mailings. Tanya actually is involved in our 5K run, which will be in the fall, and she's the coordinator for that program.
Okay. How long have you been having the race? Good long time? More recent development?
No, it's about four years now. We're in the coming into the fifth year now.
Okay. So. And if people are interested in volunteering, you're having some upcoming orientations. Tell folks how the process works.
So you can either call us. Our number is 517-337-1717, or we're also online.
That hasn't changed since 1969,
has
it?
That has not changed. No. And we're also at theear.org, theear.org, and it has information on our orientations. We're doing a training this April, early part of April, so our orientations actually start next week. So this is a good time for people, if they're interested, to call and get some information about us.
And 65 hours is a significant amount of training. What happens in those 65 hours?
You learn skills on empathy, and just tap into in touch with yourself. You learn a lot of skills during those 65 hours of training.
People learn a lot more about themselves
yes.
Really in the process.
So we start out with a lot of small groups. There's some lectures. Like I said, the community mental health director comes and gives us a talk, and we have talks about suicide and sexual assault. But really the heart of the program is small group learning. People do role plays for each other, and then staff come in and do role plays for them to really prepare them for work on the phones.
Could you use more volunteers, Steve?
Yes, we could. Right now we're at about 60, and we'd like to get about 20 to 30 more people to really make the organization function smoothly.
Can they call the hotline for that, or do you recommend online or the website or what?
Any way you can get to us is
fine.
Matter. The hotline,
yeah.
Or...
Somebody's always answering the phone,
that's right?
That's right. Yeah. Well, it sounds like tremendous, rewarding work, and I think a lot of people in the community are so proud of what you've accomplished there. We want to thank Steve Bond and Tanya Bernis, part of the Listening Ear, an all-volunteer organization based in Lansing that operates the longest-running crisis hotline in the country. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
And we're also quite pleased to take a moment to offer an update on one of our most memorable Neighbors in Action segments. Back in August, you might remember when Tashmika Torok came in to tell her very moving personal story and to talk about her new nonprofit, the Firecracker Foundation, which she was hoping would be able to provide therapy to survivors of child sexual trauma who could not afford it. Well, in a little over 6 months after its inception, the Firecracker Foundation recently announced that it's contracted with several therapists to provide comprehensive therapy to 10 young people in the Lansing area. And to that we say kudos, Tashmika Torok, and congratulations. Now, current state could always use more nominations, and we know there are people and organizations out there that are doing excellent work, just like the Listening Ear and the Firecracker Foundation. We just don't know about them. Let us know about them. Tweet us your suggestions at KAR Current State or send us an email to currentstate@wkar.org. Put Neighbors in Action in the subject line and tell us why you think they should be featured for the great work they do.